Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
I think sometimes we may be a little bit too hard on Old Testament believers in regard to how much they understood about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's very evident from reading the Gospels that even the apostles of Christ had a great difficulty in comprehending certain things about him, and particularly those things that pertained to his death and subsequent resurrection. How many times do we read in the Gospels that Christ told them that he must suffer and die and be raised from the dead? And sometimes we read they did not comprehend his words. Sometimes we read their understanding was darkened so that they could not understand his words. Sometimes we even find them arguing with him and saying, "Oh, no, Lord, that can never be. That cannot happen to you." What was it that made it so difficult for them to accept the idea of a suffering Messiah? Well, it certainly had something to do with the way they had been brought up in their Jewish religion. So that moves the question back one step further. What was it about the Jewish understanding of the Hebrew Scriptures that made it so difficult for them to understand and accept the idea of a suffering Messiah? And we just can't understand why they had so much trouble. It seems so obvious to us. If the Messiah doesn't die upon the cross, then how are we going to be saved from our sins? Why did they have so much trouble with that? Well, why indeed? Why do we have so much trouble agreeing on the details of the second coming of Christ? Now, some people, of course, think they've got it all figured out, but the ones who think they've got it all figured out are, in my opinion, generally the ones who understand it the least. And the people who are more cautious, well, I think it could be this way, but it might be this way. Sometimes people like that are treated with great scorn by those who have every detail figured out. But just remember that those who thought they had the details figured out about the first coming of Christ were wrong. Nobody had them figured out. And likewise, people who think they have the details figured out about the second coming of Christ are probably wrong. It seems obvious that the Lord intends for these details to remain unclear until the fulfillment. The details about the first coming of Christ were not clear until the fulfillment by the design of God. The details about the second coming of Christ are not crystal clear either until Christ returns by the design of God. They are kept in some degree of obscurity. Not total. We are to be looking for the coming of Christ, but the details about when he will come and exactly what that will be like are deliberately couched in obscure language, so that we will not know the details ahead of time, but have enough information so that when the fulfillment occurs, we'll recognize it as the fulfillment. Oh, this is what the Scriptures were talking about. This perfectly fulfills what the Bible was saying, but not because we had it all figured out ahead of time, but because it only becomes clear at the time of fulfillment. That's the way I see it, and we'll continue in that vein in just a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday February 28, the last day of February, 2013, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us on this station. Well, as I say, I think sometimes we are too hard on the Old Testament saints because we don't remember how difficult it is for us to understand the details of the second coming of Christ. We think they should have understood the details of the first coming of Christ clearly, because we do. But the reason we do is because we live in the age of fulfillment. They lived in the age of prophecy. And that is exactly why Peter tells us that the Old Testament prophets searched the Scriptures, searched their writings in order to try to figure out the time and the details of Christ's coming. Remember that in 1 Peter 1:10? Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now, as I mentioned earlier, one of the most difficult aspects of the first coming of Christ for the apostles to understand was that Christ would have to suffer. Why was that so difficult for them? Well, it was because they had been brought up in an atmosphere of expecting the glorious Messiah to appear. And the reason they were was because the Bible teachers of their day had focused upon the Scriptures that talked about the glories of the Messiah and had overlooked or deliberately rejected the Scriptures that talked about a suffering Messiah. Now, I can only speculate as to the motives why this was done. I'm sure that they were different in every case. For some people, it might have just simply been, I don't like what the Scriptures seem to be saying about a suffering Messiah, so I'll just sort of turn my back on that and find reasons not to accept that, and I can find all these other prophecies that talk about the glories of the Messiah, and that's what I like, and so that's what I'm going to believe. I will believe what this Bible says about the reigning Messiah, the ruling Messiah, the powerful Messiah, the majestic Messiah, the enemies-squashing Messiah, the Israel-elevating Messiah. I think that was an awful big part of it. Israel chafed under Gentile domination. Israel chafed under the judgment that God had brought upon her going clear back to the days of the Babylonian captivity. She never really fully recovered from that. By God's goodness, she came out of Babylonian captivity back to the land and reestablished the temple and the holy city and the sacrifices and all of that, but never came even close to the glory that Israel had enjoyed under David and Solomon. And there were these promises in the Old Testament about David's son who would reign upon his throne and who would exalt Israel above the nations of the world, and that the nations of the world would look to Israel and look to David's throne, and they would stream into Jerusalem. And there's so many of these wonderful prophecies, and these were very comforting to the Jews who were under the thumb of the Gentiles in the first century, under the thumb of Rome, and resented it and resisted it and longed for that to be changed, and therefore looked longingly for the coming of the Messiah, because they thought he would come and throw off the yoke of Rome. And Jesus of Nazareth shows up, and he has no army, he has no power, he has no political influence, he has no glory, no grandeur. There was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We didn't like this kind of Messiah. You tell me this is the Messiah? promised from of old? Not on your life. I don't believe it. I won't accept it. I don't like it. That's not the kind of Messiah that I'm looking for. So I'm not going to accept him. I don't care if he fulfills many of the Old Testament prophecies. I don't care if the details of his life line up with all the Old Testament prophecies. And if there's nothing of the Old Testament prophecies that he does not fulfill except the ones that have to do with his glorious reign. He hasn't fulfilled those. Well, true. But you're already rejecting him before he's 35 years old. How do you know what he's going to do in the days to come? How do you know that he's not going to fulfill all of those prophecies about the glorious Messiah reigning upon David's throne? Now, the fact of the matter is, we, in the ages of fulfillment, the age of fulfillment, can understand a great deal more about this, and we realize that the first aspects of his reign and of the kingdom that he ushered in are spiritual rather than physical. He is reigning on David's throne in heaven. His kingdom has come on earth in the hearts of those who trust in him. Is that the final fulfillment of what the scriptures speak of? No. There will be an earthly reign, a glorious fulfillment, a literal fulfillment, a physical fulfillment here upon the earth. But there must first be the spiritual aspects, and that must be understood as phase one of these prophecies being fulfilled. They are coming in two stages, even as the coming of Christ is in two stages. Stage one, first coming. Stage two, second coming. Stage one, suffering Messiah. Stage two, glorious Messiah. Stage one ushers in a spiritual kingdom. Stage two ushers in a temporal, a physical kingdom. Stage one, the kingdom is only in the hearts of his people. Stage two, the kingdom will be over all the earth. Now, it's pretty easy for us to say that and to see that now because, as I say, we live in the age of fulfillment. But could we realistically expect the Old Testament Christians to be able to figure that out from the prophecies which they had been given? Or do we have to admit that they were very much like we are in reference to the second coming of Christ? They, in reference to the first coming of Christ, were combing through these prophecies and not knowing exactly what to make of them and couldn't really figure them out in detail until Christ came, much like we comb over the prophecies of his second coming and have difficulty figuring out the details until he comes the second time in fulfillment. And then all will be plain. I see a lot of parallels here. And again, I throw in a caution to those who think they've got all the details of the second coming figured out. And I would say to you, no, you don't, any more than you can find anybody before the coming of Christ and during the days of Christ's coming who had figured out all the prophecies concerning his first coming. You think they weren't scholars? You think they weren't interested? They were, but they were unable to figure out the unfigureoutable. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.